Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Yeah. Ian, what are we talking about today? It's mental health and COVID. And so that's
It's maybe not talking about COVID as much as talking about the long-term mental health effects of getting back into the workplace and starting to realize that that mental health is a major concern, and it's something that is coming out every single day. Mm. And you know where it starts to stem from, Howard, is when we start to get to points in the year or milestones, or I wouldn't say anniversaries per se, but like the example I'm coming up with is just over the weekend as a family, we were talking about school holidays. My daughter goes on, my son's already on school holidays, and my daughter goes on school holidays tomorrow. See, I don't even know what's going on. And the response at the family, dinner table was, so what? You know what I mean? And that it was actually quite a sad comment. Like, so what? You know what I mean? So what? Oh gosh, what are we going to do now? You know, and I think that is where people's mindsets are, is that we're caught in the situation where we're being asked to go back to work. We're being asked to go back to somewhat normality, but it's not normality. And as hard as people are trying to be normal, it's not normal. And that takes a huge toll on your mental ability to keep optimistic, to keep positive, to keep motivated. And it was just a highlight for me that we need to embrace the fact. And what I loved about what Dr. Marburg said this morning is, appreciate what you've got today and create, and I look at it as an extension, create something new. So these July holidays are going to be very different from any July holiday that I think anybody's ever experienced.
Right.
So instead of turning around and saying, so what, rather say, so what can we do? And I think it applies to the workforce to say, so what can we do with the situation, and how do we talk about it? How do we communicate? And the big aspect for me around addressing the huge concern, and it is a big concern, about mental health is, how do we start talking and how do we start dealing with it and helping people to feel okay, that it's okay not to feel great every single day.
So interesting. I wrote an email to, and I'm changing it slightly to turn it into a column for the Jewish Report this week. But I sent this out, and I'll just read some of it, to my team yesterday. And I said, hi everyone. Sunday was not an easy day for me. No one in my family has COVID. It's a beautiful day in Johannesburg, and I had a lot to keep me busy. The kids had gone to the Lion and Rhino Park, which meant that I could even have an undisturbed conversation with my wife, which is a rare occurrence during lockdown. I woke up early. I went for a walk. I caught up on some work, and then I prepared for my Sunday podcast. After recording it, spent some time with the team, and we got it ready for distribution. I sent out the podcast, and then I crashed. For most of the afternoon, I lay on my bed and watched a completely unmemorable series on Netflix. I felt overwhelmed with exhaustion, and I wondered if I was getting sick. As a result, I started to stress about COVID and found myself a little short of breath, because you know that I'm a hypochondriac. It didn't get much better for most of the day, after which I put myself to sleep so as not to annoy myself or anyone around me. It was not fun to be around me, least of all. I was not fun to be around, least of all, for myself. I had no reason to hit the slump that I did, but with everything that is going on around us, I guess I had every reason, and this is why I'm writing this. We know we are blessed. We know that we have people that care for us and that we care for. I know that I'm busy, I'm focused, I have purpose, but most days I'm able to rationalize it. But every now and then, the loss, the change, the worry, and the anxiety becomes overwhelming. Every now and then, the ball that we are struggling to hold under the water simply bursts above the surface, and it takes a little bit of time to get it contained again. Yesterday was that day for me. I wrote this yesterday, so it was Sunday. Mm. I woke up at 4 a.m. today feeling great, maybe because I'm excited about the possibility of the week ahead, maybe because in my sleep I counted my blessings, or maybe because I simply gave myself the time yesterday to feel the impact of COVID on the world and on me. And I do think that we have to give ourselves that permission. And,
yes.
And you know, I as long as Sunday just remains Sunday, and Sunday doesn't become Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday as well. But I do think, and I think that applies to work. And I sent this out to my team, and I couldn't believe the responses that I got back from people identifying and people saying, yes, you know, I'm having that day today. I'm having your Sunday on Monday.
Yeah.
So, Natty?
It's a good start, to admit when you are feeling out of sorts. And I think that in your case, you're a leader, in your capacity at work. And it's great for leaders also to tell their team members that, listen.
Oh, that's so interesting. I didn't think of that.
Mm. Yeah, because, I mean, they look up to you and.
Well, I hope so. Yeah. I don't know. We can't be sure about that. God. But let's assume for the sake of the discussion.
Hypothetically.
So it's okay when, you know, they kind of get that vulnerability from their leaders, because it kind of validates their own feelings, and it makes them get to a point where they don't feel so bad that it's normal. It's not just because they're lazy or.
Right. Yeah. Right. And that you actually can have those days. So Ian, how does that manifest in the workplace?
So I think, Howard, and once again, I always say that everybody thought that you earn trust by being transparent, and it's a fallacy, to be honest, because sometimes the more information you have and the more it scares you more, and you actually you fear more. So the opposite of trust is not mistrust, it's actually fear. So the question is not trying to overwhelm people with information and trying just to shove as much information down as a form of communication to make people feel better. So sending a PDF or a YouTube video with just like generalized tips, you know, wash your hands, do this and do that. And I'm not saying that's not important, but I think we need to start looking beyond that. And I agree with what Zanati is saying, is we need to start talking about not only looking after your washing your hands and putting on masks, but how people can look after their mental health and giving people a response that talks to their concerns and their needs, and saying, like you said in your letter or in your email, Howard, that it's okay to feel that way, and be confident and have the courage that you can speak about it. But equally, you can't. I was talking to somebody the other night, and I was saying that you have to be sincere when you ask somebody how they are feeling. Don't be surprised if you say to somebody, how are you? And they spend the next half an hour telling you how they feel because you asked them. You weren't paying them a courtesy. You were actually asking them. And I think that is what is so important, is that we can't just pay lip service and say we're caring about our people because we ask them every morning how they are. We're being genuine by making sure we're actually listening to how they are, and we're acting. And acting ensures that you make people feel comfortable, and you model that by your culture, by how the leadership enables workers to feel safe enough to ask for the support and help if they require it. People should not, you know, we've spoken about stigmas a lot on the show, and we've heard about it. People should not feel stigmatized if they feel that they're taking strain, not physically, but mentally.
Mm. How do we achieve that balance? Because at the same time, you don't want to risk a work environment grounding to a halt as we all sit around and express our feelings. So it needs to be managed and balanced. And I guess maybe you used the word culture before, that it's got to be part of a greater culture within an organization.
Yes. I think it's two steps, Howard. The one is definitely about culture.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of companies and organizations are reassessing their culture on different levels. I think there's so much happening in the world today around diversity, around the new ways of work and everything. There's a lot on the table to talk about in terms of culture in the workplace. But I think one of the other things that is also very important, and it's a tough discussion, it's a tough exercise, it's not easy. And the reason why companies don't often do it is because they often sideline it because of the complexity. But it requires a joint and collaborative re-examination of what the company's values are. And are the values of the company aligned with the needs of employees? And I think that what this pandemic has shown, and what we've seen out of how people have responded and how people have actually demonstrated their ability to show up and be strong during adversity has really shown that companies need to reassess their values of how they connect with their employees and how they ensure that employees feel connected to the values of the company and aligned to it. So it's a tough discussion, Howard, but it's a discussion that has to happen. Otherwise, people will, sadly, they will become silent. And when people become silent, that's when things become very concerning, because when people don't feel the courage to talk up, who do they talk to?
Here's the question, Ian, and this is something, you know, just something to take away, is can you give us some ideas on how to deal with or is struggling with not being around people, working alone, isolation, etc.?
So, Howard, I want to share a practical example of something I experienced, which was absolutely phenomenal. I was called in by a company to assist them with hosting an online event. And when we were doing the preparations, I was expecting this whole business-related session, like strategy session. I thought, wow, this is going to be like boring, because the guy said, we want to do a 3-hour session on Zoom. And I'm going like, are you kidding me? You know, do you know that the attention span is up to 40 minutes? And the guy said, just go along with it. And to really summarize it into what they did was they called their whole team into a strategy session. But it wasn't a strategy session. What it was, it was like an interactive team building, and it was kind of done in a very collaborative and an interactive way. Just some of the ideas. So instead of the management, the senior management creating the direction and the kind of the strategy for the company, what they did is they used a collaborative tool where every single participant was asked to create a slide as part of the strategy. And it was phenomenal, because everybody could put their ideas forward. And it became a collaborative ideation session. And then it became a team building, because then what they did was they managed to get somebody to somebody in the team is very musical. And this guy entertained the team for a little bit, playing a couple of songs. And then what they did is they did something quite phenomenal. It was marketing genius, to be honest, Howard. Because HR had all the addresses of everybody, they arranged that all the people that were like working at home got little packages for lunch, and everybody had a get together lunch over the Zoom.
Absolutely lovely.
And it was the longest Zoom I've ever done in terms of 3 hours, but not one person left the session. Not one person complained. There was nothing in the comments that said, oh, this is a joke, this is boring.
Right.
And when we put all the information together afterwards, Howard, it actually was so much more meaningful. And the management actually came back to me afterwards when we had a debrief, and they said to us, they said, that is the most innovative, the most enthusiastic response. And what it was driven by is it was driven by the fact that it wasn't heavy. It wasn't one directional about people feeling they were being told what to do. People were genuinely, and when I say genuinely, it was very transparent in the sense that people's ideas were being shown firsthand on the screen in real time. So it wasn't like this was staged or kind of canned to make it suit the needs of the company. And as I say, as we head towards an uncertain future in terms of how long this is going to happen, I would seriously encourage companies and individuals and anybody working in the space is to grab onto what you've got today and have a bit of like creative, enthusiastic fun in a way by making people feel part of the solution, not feeling that they're part of a problem. And if you feel like you're part of a solution and you can make a valuable contribution today, worry about the things that will happen tomorrow, but make people feel that they're part of something today. And through doing things in a very kind of spontaneous way without putting too much pressure certainly can help people to think beyond the challenges we're facing, which are sometimes out of our control. And I would really encourage people to So think about having a bit of fun, especially as we're going into what would typically be July holidays, and not many people are having July holidays. But have a bit of fun with your teams and allow people to feel a little bit normal.
I love that. Absolutely love that idea. And just to, as you say, do create things that are fun because we need to.
People want to have fun. People want to be heard.
Because we can't, you know, I was chatting to somebody yesterday. We do need to unfortunately end it here, but I was chatting to somebody yesterday following that email that I sent out, and he said to me, you know, he's just having that day today. And I said to him, you know, the reality is that if you woke up feeling a bit meh in a day, you'd walk into the office, you've got a lot of friends there, everybody would be joking around. In 2 minutes or less, your whole demeanor would have changed, and you wouldn't be feeling that.
Right.
So now we've got to try and find the ways to assist ourselves and to assist people around us to get to that point. Ian Basarabi, thank you. As always, fascinating and interesting conversation.